DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essiff. Monsignor Essiff is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity around the world. Monsignor Essiff encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, including Lebanon and Peru, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by St. John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, brothers and sisters, and seminarians and other religious leaders around the world. Building the Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essiff. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
Today, all over the church in the Catholic world, I really believe that God, in these times, at this particular time, not just because of the church here and the readings, but there's a specific nature to the world today in which we have all these people who are grasping. You know, everybody wants to hit the multi-million dollar lottery. People are grasping for, you know, athletes. I read in the paper that if they're gifted athletically, they want to get all this money. At one time, sports was really sports. Now it's like money. The money seems to dominate everything. In movies, superstars, oil magnates, gouging of prices, CEOs, the drive for money. And today the church is saying, be careful of greed, greed. All over the world today, we're hearing from the book of Ecclesiastes, which is so powerful in its teaching, vanity of vanities. Says Koheleth, vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. Here is one who has labored with wisdom and knowledge and skill, and yet to another who has not labored over it, he must leave his possessions and his property. This also is vanity and a great misfortune. For what profit comes to me and to men from all the toil and anxiety of heart with which he has labored and under the sun? All his days, sorrow and grief are his occupation. Even at night, his mind is not at rest. This also is vanity. St. Paul tells us, brothers and sisters, if you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is earthy. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. Put to death, then, the parts of you that are earthly. Stop lying to one another, and the greed that is idolatry. And there's so much that, you know, greed is a capital sin. Greed is a tremendous drive in us humans. The desire for possessions. You know, if you're smart enough to make a million, you must be dumb enough to want it. Jesus is telling us today in this gospel, he's teaching us about possessions and how they begin to possess us, the drive that we have. in Luke's gospel in the 12th chapter, he's telling us about someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbiter?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may have riches, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. Then I shall store all my grain and other goods. And I shall say to myself, 'Now, as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, to whom will they go?' Thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what is of God." So many of us fail to understand that teaching of Paul and teaching of Jesus, that with regard to possessions, with regard to the greed, in Christ is what we live. We live in Him, He in us. If I don't have Him, I have nothing. I may have everything, but may not have Him. And does that mean that rich people do not have Christ? I hope not. But they have an awareness of the poor. They have an awareness of God. And God is always first. Idolatry is where we put the possessions before God. And greed, because of its nature, has a way of taking us over. When I was the propagation of the faith director, I used to go begging for missionaries. And I was always amazed. There was a little lady, and I preached at her funeral, Mary Duffy. She had been married to Anthony. Anthony died, and she had a modest little apartment in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And she and her husband. She had been a teacher. Whatever she had done with her salary that she made all her life, she lived very sparingly, but saved her money. And with regard to the goods of this world, she used them. She had electricity, she had light, she had a place to stay, she had food. But the luxuries of life she put aside. She lived rather poorly. When I went to see her one day, she called me sometime before she died. And she said, "I have all this money and I want to give it." She had bonds and all kinds of things, which she turned completely over to the propagation of the faith and to missionaries. $600,000. She had many possessions, but she was always daily mass, cared for her in her prayer, was just a very devout, humble, simple woman who was a teacher, an excellent teacher, a Christian, a child of God. Paul says, when we have this life, it's life in Christ. There are those who live and live for the wealth and live for the money and live for the fame. There was another experience I had in my life. I had a very wealthy relative, and she inherited millions and millions of dollars. And she had a relative who was very poor. She gave her nothing. She had to beg for almost everything she ever gave her. I don't know whatever happened to her wealth. She had cars and a huge house and all kinds of this wealth and greed. She was so attached and she was so just in love with the money. That became her God. And that's really what Paul was talking about. You must not make anything idolatry. The money became her God. She was buried. She was very poor. She had no friends. She really just had her money. And her greed had just brought her in on herself. I'd like to think about this with you, my brother priest. All my ministerial life, I was aware of the poor. You know, 90% of the personnel of the Catholic Church, priests, religious, are serving the middle class and the upper class. We have a pope right from the beginning reminded us of the poor, Pope Francis. I asked my bishop, can I serve the poor? And for years and years and years of my ministry, I dedicated myself, my ministry as a priest, to the poor. There are thousands and thousands of people that do not have the ministry of priests. They need a minister. They need priests, and they're the poor. We have them in every city. We have them in every place. When I met them in different places of the world, you know, with regard to, you may think you're poor as a Catholic, as a Christian, but do you know the difference between necessities of life and luxuries? You know, what would a man or a woman who lives in Haiti think of your apartment, your house? He sees you as extremely wealthy in comparison. How much do you have and your children? You know, when I would take children of middle class America to third world countries, there would be juniors that had just finished their junior year in high school before they became seniors, 17-year-old types, girls and boys, and take them to places like Ecuador, like Tanzania, Mexico. And there they would be exposed to the poverty of the third world. And for the first time they saw just how wealthy they were. Ordinary kids, they would come back and they would give up their new set of Nikes or their fancy kind of clothes, their designer clothes. They themselves would begin to see the inequities of life, how much they had that were luxuries. What the Haitians say, the people from Haiti say, what the eye doesn't see, the heart doesn't feel. And so it was so wonderful to see people in the third world. I thank God for the experiences of poverty around the world. This is a tiny little globe, and there are millions and millions of people who are living in true, deep poverty in third world countries. And now we think we have such an economic difficulty in this country, and yet every person in the world would want to come and live in the United States. We have an enormous amount, and even those of us who think we're poor, and we're beginning to have an experience of homeless people who have lost their homes. Not that many, but some. Enough to remind us of how much we really have that God has given us. Some of the people that I have met because of my life and the circumstances, when I met Mother Teresa and the way of life her sisters live, they know necessities. And they know luxuries. they live a very healthy life in their missions. Wherever I go, into the Philippines, into Mexico, into Africa, into wherever I go, they have this lifestyle of poverty. You should see and really, really see how sparingly they use water. Do you realize what it is, water? Most of us just go over to the tap and we open up the spigot and there's water. But for how many millions in the world do they have to carry water from the river? Go to the river to wash their clothes. Bring the water to their homes by buckets. They do not have central water. And when they are in touch with the necessity of water, water is a necessity. Our light, to live in a place where there's no electrification, our use of electricity, our wasting of power and electricity. They do not have washing machines. All their washing is done by hand. Mother asks them to live like the poor. They're extremely clean. They want to be healthy, these missionaries of charity, but they live a life of poverty, authentic, real poverty. Wherever I go, the poor love the missionaries of charity, and the missionaries of charity love the poor. We have this magnificent Pope in our day who has reminded us. Yesterday we had the feast of St. Alphonsus Liguori. I went to his home in Naples. He was a man of great luxury. He gave it all up. His life at Pagani, his life in reaching out to the poor. Ignatius of Loyola, a soldier of fortune, living and taking vows of poverty. Little Francis of Assisi, if you go there, his family was wealthy. And he grew up with fine clothes and the poverty of his garb. It was really burlap that he wore. The modern Franciscan has a marvelous vestige of his clothing. But it was really burlap. The missionaries of charity wear the costume of the poor saris, of the poorest of the poor in India. Jesus today, when we come to Mass, is teaching us again what true poverty is. It's riches. Because when we have Him, we have everything. Paul says in the epistle today, what are you really looking for? What kind of house do you want? I want a mansion. In the home I want to live in this life, it's always the home of a pilgrim. Even if you're living in a castle, I'm not saying you shouldn't enjoy the beautiful house you live in, but it's temporary. Nothing is lasting. If you are aware of Jesus and his message, if you are aware of who you are in Christ, that's what Paul is saying. If you were truly raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Where is Jesus now, preparing a mansion for you? You have a magnificent eternal home that will never end. The poor man is wealthy because the poor man has in the deepest part of his being the Lord Jesus. If you have him, you have everything. If you don't have him, you can have all the wealth in this world. And as Billy Graham says, there's no U-Haul behind a hearse. When you die, you leave it all. It's not yours. You were meant to have eternal life, which is what you have in Christ, through Christ, and with Christ. And there's no distinction. When you walk around the world, you know, what do you look at? Here there is no Greek or Jew. In Christ, there is no nationality. There is no race. There's no circumcised or uncircumcised. There's no barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free. In the world that Paul was living in, there were slaves. There's no slaves. There's no free. There's no the untouchables, as there may be in India. No. And there's no Brahmins. There's no classes. In Christ, we are all one. But Christ is all in all. In him is everything. And so the wealthiest person in the world is the one who has him. And the one who lives in him and breathes in him each day, each moment. Our wealth is to be in Christ. Brothers and sisters, the readings of today at Sunday Mass are so liberating, so freeing. I would love, you know, we just had in with Pope Francis Youth Day for the whole world. The Catholic youth gathered there in Sao Paulo in Brazil. And there the message is that we are all missionaries. When I would see these young students coming back, 17-year-olds, you know, Mormons give a couple years of their life to the missions. Young Catholics, Christians, you have a mission in this life. To be in Christ, to be missionaries of your lifestyle. What are you going to do with your life to radiate Christ in your lives? When you set out to have a career, in what kind of fortune and money and desire do you have? What is your dream? What is your vision in this life? We have as our goal eternal life, to be with God. There are some young people who die young. I don't know how long you're going to live. Sometimes we live a long time. Sometimes we live a short life. St. Therese, who was the patroness of the mission, said, I don't want to live a long life. I don't want to live a short life. I just want to live a full life. To live in Christ is to live the fullness of God. Mother Teresa led 87 years of life in this world, a beautiful life. And she closed her eyes, and now this little, less than 5-foot nun has an eternal mansion. She is with God for all eternity. Thank you, Mother Teresa. But am I talking this morning to someone who is 17 and 18 and has a dream about living your life for God in Christ? That dream that she had when she left her mission in Loretta after 18 years of teaching geography and went to serve the poorest of the poor in the streets of Calcutta. There are so many great saints among us, and you have a power to be that, a saint, to be in Christ, and to live fully a life for God.
It's difficult to live fully for Him when we're full of ourselves, isn't it, Monsignor?
Well, I've been all summer with men who went out. And they were converted from lives. All these men that are here who found the emptiness of what people seek. They found positions, they did drugs, they got wherever they thought that they wanted, but they found themselves empty. We were not made for possessions. That we could have them all, and they only cause us lives of emptiness. Only the greedy man really understands that you never are satisfied. What can give me peace of mind? That I always have this idea that I'm really not in control. At the deepest part of my being, I find emptiness. In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, it's not in the Mass today, but I was drawn to it to just share this. All you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come, receive grain and eat. Come without paying and without cost. Drink wine and milk. Why spend your money for what is not bread? Your wages for what fails to satisfy. Heed me, and you shall eat well. You shall delight in rich fare. Come to me heedfully. Listen, that you may have life. I will renew with you the everlasting covenant, the benefits assured to David. And I think if you could just put in your own name, I will renew with you the everlasting covenant, the benefits assured to Chris, and I made her a witness to the people, a leader and a commander of nations. When, that's in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, when you begin to really see what is truly satisfying, that God is the one for whom we were made, when you are rich in God, you are truly rich. And to be rich in God is to be rich in Christ. And for each of you who has been baptized, at the deepest part of your being is Christ. He's real. He's very real. And he's in you. And so many times what we have to do is empty ourselves of what we think is true reality. These creatures that get in the way to recognize the source, the creator, the Lord, the King, Jesus.
You've been listening to Building the Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. To hear and or to download this program or to browse hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to support our efforts. But most of all, we pray that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com.